All right, as you came in, you should have received two pieces of paper with our chart and some blank lines, and it was intentional that you received two. My hope is to go through this twice. We will see what happens, but I wanted you to have it so that if we were able to get to it, you wouldn't have to figure out which was which. You could just have two separate ones. All right. So does everybody have two of those pieces of paper? If you do not have two, then slip your hand in the air. We'll make sure. Oh, we got a lot of people that don't have two. So as you make your way to having two, I'm going to just talk a little bit. We are tonight, right out of the box, going to start off on a very heavy topic and a very serious topic, and that is pornography. And so I just want to say out off the bat that this is a serious topic, not because of just what it deals with, but because it affects so many people. We have access, more access to video and to pictures and the world and all of that today than we ever have. And our young people have access to these things. Pornography is on the rise at a higher rate in the lives of women than any other demographic. It is affecting the way that men view women. There's a study out not too long ago in Australia, and they are saying now that because of pornography in the lives of teenagers, that young girls are feeling the pressure to send sexually explicit pictures to guys over the internet. So it's not just pictures, but guys are now pressuring girls that they are, quote, dating or whatever, to send them pornographic pictures as well. It's affecting marriages. It's affecting our society. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. And so what I wanted to do was, 2 weeks ago, we sort of took the chart and we looked at a passage of Scripture and showed how the person in that passage of Scripture, actually it was Paul, sort of lived this chart out, how this chart worked in their life. Tonight, I want to take, and we kind of started from the situation. What was Paul's situation? He was under persecution. What could have Paul, how could have Paul reacted in a wrong manner? And then we walked through what would have been the heart problem there and the consequences of that, and walked through the cross, and then came out looking at how the cross will change our heart if we are putting our faith in Christ, and then what was the fruit of that and the consequences of that. And so tonight I want to start in a different place, and then next week we're actually going to start even a different place. I hope you come back next week, because we're going to talk about how this can help you in your Bible study. I think a lot of people will read the Bible, but they don't have a clue how to apply it to their lives. And so next week we're going to take you through this chart and show you how the Bible, as you read the Bible, this chart can help you in your Bible study, applying it to your lives so that God can use His Word to produce change in your life. But tonight we're going to start with where probably 95% of people start on this chart, and that is with thorns. If somebody comes into my office and they're wanting counseling, they are usually talking about and giving me the thorns in their life. When you sit across the table and have a cup of coffee with someone and they break down and they begin to talk to you about the struggles in their life, they 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, are giving you the thorns in their life. I have never had someone come into my office and say, "Pastor Marcus, my marriage is in shambles, and I don't know what I'm going to do about loving myself too much." That's usually not what happens. My marriage is in shambles, and then they begin to give the thorns. We can't communicate. We don't talk to each other. We're always yelling at all of those things come out, and they give the thorns. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, and we're going to cover specifically pornography. Now, let me make sure I'm... There we go. All right, pornography. Pornography is all around us. It's almost unavoidable. There are those who really struggle with this. Again, it is no longer just men. It is with women as well. And so many people struggle with this. If someone were to come to you and say, I am struggling with pornography, how would you take the Bible? How could you help them with the sin that they are struggling with in their life? Now, most of us would go to Scripture and we would go to passages that talk about how sex outside of marriage is wrong and how viewing pornography is wrong and sexual lust and all of that's wrong. If somebody's coming to you and they're struggling with pornography, they already know that. So getting them to recite a verse on lust is not going to help them. They already know that it's wrong. So a verse telling them that it's wrong isn't the solution. The solution is not putting filters on their computer and filters on their phone and filters on everything else, on their TV. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but what I'm saying is that's not the solution. The solution is also not getting them out of their circumstances, because they're always going to face circumstances that seem to lend themselves to the pressures that press them towards viewing a pornographic material. And so what we need to do, whether you are the one struggling or whether someone else is struggling or sometime in the future you face someone who is struggling with this, is figure out what is it that is going on at the heart level, all right, that is causing this to be an issue and a struggle and something that is hard for them to defeat. And so there are a lot of things that we could put down here at the heart level, but I want to cover just some that are sort of more prevalent. Remember, down here at the heart level, we have wrong desires and wrong beliefs. That's what we have at the heart level. So you see that, desires and beliefs. So what would be some of the wrong desires or the wrong beliefs that we have? Well, a wrong desire would be that sex is a need. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, wait a minute. Isn't sex a need? I mean, if we're going to repopulate, I mean, if that's, yes, but it's not a physical need for you. In other words, you don't need sex to survive. You don't need sex to be happy. You don't need sex to be fulfilled. Yes, God commands it so that we are fruitful and have people on the earth. That's what He's called us to do. Right, but it's not a need in the sense that you have to have sex. And so we have this understanding in our minds, this misconception, misunderstanding in our minds, that somehow that is a need. And so we think, I deserve it. Or I'm being shortchanged if I don't get it. And so that turns into a wrong belief as well, that God is holding something back. God is holding back something, because if I think that it's a need, I have to have it in my life, and yet I can't have sex because I'm not married, then God must be holding back something from me. And so it's a wrong belief about God. Now, who gave us sex? God gave us sex. Now, sex is not wrong. Nothing wrong with sex. However, it is wrong outside of the context in which God said, this is where you are to have sex. Okay? It is wrong worship. When we view pornography and look at pornography. It is a worship of the body, both of the one that you are looking at and your own body. Because you are saying, I need this, I deserve this, I am most important. So there is pride at the root of viewing pornography. I know better than God. I deserve this. I need this. I, me, mine. So it becomes all about you. Pornography is a way that you get the enjoyment without the relationship. And so you have totally disconnected from the relationship. You are viewing it on a screen and you don't know that person, and you are seeing these images, and there's this sense of joy or this sense of fulfillment or this sense of pleasure, and you think to yourself, and I don't have all the baggage because I don't have a relationship, I'm not hurting someone, and that's a lie that you believe, that it is just about you, that you're not hurting anyone else. And so it's selfishness. So it's about self. It's what you want. You have wrong loves. You love comfort. You gain pleasure or comfort from these images that you're viewing. And so that is what you are pursuing. That is what you're going after. And you're doing it in the wrong manner. So these are the lies that we buy into. These are the wrong desires and the wrong beliefs. So what is it that our circumstances or our situation, right, that may, we think maybe this causes this, right? Or what is the situation that I feel the pressure that squeezes this out, all right? A lot of guys will say it's a stress release, and so stress at home or the job. Maybe your situation is your spouse has a physical issue. Anytime I do premarital counseling, you have these two that come in and they're so excited, and the world is, you know, full of unicorns and rainbows and everything's going to be great because I've met the perfect person. And I always look at the guy and I ask, do you love her? Yes. And I immediately say, if she gets in a car wreck tomorrow and she is burned from head to toe with third-degree burns, are you still going to love her? Yeah. Well, of course he's going to say yes there. And so we think that because sex is a need, now there's an issue with my spouse, well, then I've got to go somewhere else. That's not how it works, because sex isn't a need. Or past abuse. You may have been abused sexually. And so you've been exposed at an early age to things that you should never have been exposed to. And then those things are in your mind. And then there's guilt. And the guilt begins to be in a spiral. And you just continue to go down that path. And you say, well, I just have no choice. Because this is my past. I was abused. This is who I am. You begin to find your identity in those things. But it doesn't necessarily have to be bad things. What about internet access? When we have access to information, and that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with having access to tons of information. God has blessed us with that. And so what we say is, well, and this is the thinking, if I just shut down the internet, then I've solved my problem. Well, your problem is not the internet. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Or God has blessed me with a good job, but I have to travel. Nothing wrong with traveling. Traveling is good. But you're alone a lot. So, well, if it wasn't for my job, or if it wasn't for this situation, or if it wasn't for that situation where I was always alone, then I wouldn't be in this predicament. I wouldn't be, quote, addicted to pornography. That's just your situation. It's good that God has given you a job. It's good that you get to travel and see different things. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not your problem. Any more than stress on the job is your problem, or a spouse's physical issue, or your past abuse. Your problem is down here in the heart level. That is the issue. And so you begin to view pornography and you tell yourself it's not really hurting anyone. But what are the consequences? Well, it totally changes your view. I'm going to put women, but it could be men too. Because you begin to set unrealistic expectations of women based on what you are viewing on the computer or on the TV. And so you look now, when you see women, guys, when you're walking through the hallways, they become objects of your lust, as opposed to people who are created in the image of God for His glory. And so the relationships now are based on physical attraction. Well, that's just a downward spiral, because you think that the most important thing is that you are pleased physically, and so you look for someone who's going to please you physically in a manner that you have been watching and viewing all these things, and you have set yourself up for big-time failure, because you have now put expectations that that other person cannot meet in a relationship. And so there is hurt in the marriage. It can lead to divorce. And my handwriting is atrocious tonight. Let me widen that just a little bit. Hurt in the marriage, divorce. It leads to other sexual sin. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time. And so you're viewing pornography, your spouse or whoever you're in a relationship with isn't meeting your expectations, and so that leads to other sexual sin. So what do? You go outside of the marriage, and now you start looking for fulfillment there. And so prostitution, adultery, all of those things. And so there's this downward spiral that you find yourself on. Sex trafficking is a direct result of the pornography industry. Because guys think that their spouse or some woman should perform or do what they are watching some woman do on TV, and when they won't, they go somewhere else. And then when most women won't do that, so what do? They go and they find somebody who is forced to do what they want to do. And so you think that you're not hurting anyone else. And you say, well, I'd never go do that. Yes, but what you view and the things that support the pornographic industry are directly related to the support of sex trafficking. To the fact that you're on the site says that you are supporting that, whether you know it or not. And so it just multiplies. There are great consequences to the sin. But you say, but I'm stuck. I feel like I am addicted. I cannot do anything. Is there hope? And of course there's hope. And the hope is always found where? That's right, in the cross. We always, always, always go back to the cross. It is not in filters. It is not in whatever else. Those things are good. They can help. But that is not the answer, because you will always go somewhere else. You put a filter on your phone, you put a filter on your computer, you put a filter on whatever, you're going to find a way if it's your heart. And so who is God, and what does He say and do in Christ to help us in this situation? How can the cross help us? Well, here's what you need to know. God says sex is good. Now, how does that help us? It helps us in this way. If God gave us sex and God said it is to be pleasurable, but it is only pleasurable within the context of marriage, then if God is a good, sovereign, and wise God as He is, then you can trust that what you're doing right now is not the highest pleasure and is not the pleasure that God is promising, but it only occurs inside the context of marriage. So trust God and wait. Well, how can I do that? How can I wait? Well, it's found in the cross. You have been enabled to do that in the cross because of what Christ has done for you. You can turn away from instant gratification now and put a pause on everything and turn and say, I'm going to wait because I'm trusting that what God says is best and most pleasurable is best and most pleasurable. What else does the Bible say? The Bible says sex is for serving your spouse. You have an opportunity to serve your spouse, and in serving your spouse, also be served and receive pleasure. And God says, I made it that way. Sex is not for you. It is not about you. It is about the other person. And so if you're viewing pornography, you have totally taken that act and removed it from the relationship aspect. And God has given us relationship for a reason, and you have totally devoided that act from the relationship. It is void of relationship, and therefore it is not, you can't serve anybody in that. You serve yourself. And that's who you are serving, and it is seen in your heart. Okay? That's 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5. You don't need to put it up there, David, but y'all can just write it. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5. All right, what else do we find? Who is God and what does he say in Christ? You know, Christ never had sex. He never lusted. So he went his whole life, 33 years, never lusted, never had sex. He is your example. He is proof that it is not needed. And so don't buy into the lie that pornography and that pleasure is needed. It is not needed. It is a gift from God, but it's not needed. God's love for you is sufficient. Listen, ladies. One of the reasons that pornography is growing among women is because it gives this picture of a man who is perfect and he desires you in a perfect way. And so there's this expectation that you set in your mind, even towards a man, because you want to be desired in the way that the book says that the man desires the woman. And so then there's this downward spiral of unmet expectations in your life. And so you put those on a man. Listen, God's love is sufficient. You may think that you need to perform in a certain way, or you need to be a certain person, or you need to find a certain man that equals what you're reading about or what you're seeing. But your love is found not in another person. Your greatest love is found in God, and it is sufficient. Do you know why they put Victoria's Secrets on television, commercials on television? It has absolutely nothing to do with bras. Do you really think that they are trying to sell bras on those commercials? Absolutely not. What they're trying to do is say, this is how a woman should be. And if you wear this bra, a man's going to desire you. Well, let me tell you something, women. They don't look at that commercial and gawk because they're interested in lace. If that was the case, then all they would do is just stand there and show a picture of the bra and move on. That's not what they do. Their body language, their body position, everything about those commercials say, as a woman, I desire you. And they are pulling you in. And the sort of the other side of the coin is that is so therefore, women, if you'll wear this, then you'll be desired like we are. It's a lie on both sides. It's a lie on both sides. Because they are appealing to your self-centeredness, to this heart of pride that worships the body that says, God must be withholding something from me because I have a need that's not being met. And so Christ goes to the cross and he dies for our sins. And he says, let me show you what sex really is to be pleasured, where it is to be pleasured. It is within marriage. And Christ said, I have died for you so you can wait and so that you will experience in serving someone else the pleasure that is there. Instead of worshiping yourself, you worship God and he allows you and enables you to serve. Well, how do I know that that's the case? Because you look to the cross and you see that God gave you everything you need in Christ. His love for you was displayed at the cross. And his love is greater and will bring you more satisfaction than any picture, any video that is fake. And that, yes, is pleasurable for a season. And so it's repentance and faith. What do we repent of? We repent of our heart of pride. And we repent of the action of viewing pornography. Listen, every single time that you view a picture or an image or whatever it is, then you need to repent, not just of the action, but you need to repent of the heart issue, of pride, of worshiping the body, of not trusting God. And the cross allows you to do that. The cross says, it doesn't matter, you have not been defeated. Pornography is not a disease that you are addicted to. You are making a choice, and you can choose not to because of Christ. You can find forgiveness no matter how far down this road you are, no matter how deep in this hole that you find yourself, men. You can find forgiveness and you can find victory. It doesn't matter how long you have been doing this, women. You can find victory. And it is found at the cross as you repent of the heart condition and you repent of the act itself. And here's what the cross tells us, that God is withholding nothing. God is not withholding anything from you. If he's withholding something from you, then you miss the point of the cross. He gave everything for your salvation. God is giving you everything so you can have a relationship with him. All that you need. He's not withholding anything. And here is what the cross tells us in the example of Christ who never had sex, here's what it says, that serving God is more satisfying than sex. Serving God is more satisfying than an image on a screen. Serving God and serving others will and can bring more satisfaction to you than watching that video. And so that's what we put our faith in. We put our faith in the fact that the cross tells us and demonstrates to us that God is not withholding anything and that serving Him is where we find our greatest satisfaction. Now the question is, do you believe it? You've got to step out on faith. So when here is an opportunity for you to view pornography, then you have to attack your pride. Know that it is prideful, right? God, forgive me in this moment that I am trying to serve myself, that I think that it is about me. Help me to understand and see that serving you will bring me more satisfaction than watching this image, watching this video. And I trust that that's the case because I see Christ as the prime example as He gave His life and died on the cross to enable me right now to step out on faith and to turn away from that picture and that video and to trust that what you are going to do in my life is far greater, and what you're going to do through me is far greater, and what you're going to do in me is far greater than if I look at that image. And so what begins to happen? Now you begin to know true biblical love and demonstrate true biblical love. That's the fruit. See, you think love is a physical relationship with the opposite sex. That is not love. Biblical love is when you serve the other person, sacrifice for the other person. You say, well, how do I do that if my wife has a physical problem? You trust in Christ. You trust in God. It's not about sex. It's not about what you're viewing. That's not a need. So you say, I love her enough that I'm not going to go there and I'm going to serve her maybe in a different way. That's biblical love. Biblical love says, yes, if she gets in an accident and she's burned from head to toe, 3-degree burns, I'm still going to love her. I'm still going to be with her. I'm still going to serve her or him. And then that begins to spill out in serving others more. Listen, pornography isn't just, hey, it's about myself in this area. Pornography says, I am about myself. That's what I worship. And so then you're not only serving your spouse, it doesn't matter whether you're married, you're not serving anyone. You don't want to serve them. Why? Because your heart is to serve yourself, which is reflected in the thorn of you viewing pornography. And so when you begin to take care of the heart issue that's here, then the fruit that is produced is not just biblical love towards a spouse, it's biblical love towards others. You serve others because you have put yourself aside. The fruit is patience. The fruit of trusting Christ and knowing that God has a plan for your life and that He has put sex in the context of marriage because that's where it's best. If you trust that and you put your faith in that, then patience. You wait. You say no. You learn to say, I don't need it right now. That is a lie. And so no. And the consequences of that fruit, the results of that fruit, healthy marriage and dating relationships. Healthy marriage and dating relationship. You don't come into the relationship with expectations that the other person cannot meet, which sets you up for disappointment and anger and all kinds of other things. And so now we have a healthy relationship. and better sex in marriage. Let me promise you, if you are viewing pornography and you are viewing it on a regular basis and you are allowing that to define for you what a woman is to be or what a man is to be, sex in the marriage relationship is going to be dull. We're back to unmet expectations. But if you will wait and you will keep your mind pure and your heart pure, then when you step into the marriage relationship and God brings you together with the person that He has for you and you both want to honor God instead of self, then the sex in the marriage is more enjoyable because you're doing it in the way that God has ordained it. And so therefore you're serving and you find, man, God's way is the best way and you find the most satisfaction there. No guilt. You don't bring your guilt into the marriage. So that those, listen, you are viewing images right now, young people, that you will take a lifetime for you to erase from your brain. And so in any relationship that you are in, regardless of whether it's dating or marriage or whatever it is, those images will continue to recycle and recycle and recycle in your mind. And if you bring that into the marriage, you're going to bring guilt into the marriage. It's going to weigh you down. It's going to be on your shoulders carrying it for the rest of your life. God knows exactly what He is doing. It is better His way. And so you think that here's, when I watch this image or see this image or play that video, that I am getting the most satisfaction or the most pleasure. And I am telling you, all you're doing every time you do that is robbing yourself of greater satisfaction and greater pleasure. And the great thing is about it is that God says, within the context of marriage, the pleasure that you receive, I want you to go hard after it. You know why? Because it glorifies me within the context of marriage. So you can make decisions now that bring 3 minutes, 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes of pleasure that will affect your marriage for the rest of your marriage and dull the pleasure there. Or you can make a decision that is going to say no to that little 5 minutes and no to the consequences that come so that you can say yes to the pleasure and the satisfaction that God has promised you that is far, 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 far greater than anything a picture or a video will give you. And you can believe it because God says so at the cross. I sent Jesus to die so that you could say no to this and yes, and experience the promises and the grace and the satisfaction that comes in doing it my way and making decisions that are wise and right. See, if you've been told the lie that sex is wrong or sex is bad, then you miss the point. God says, I want you to enjoy it. But the problem and the lie that you've been told is that it is good, but it needs to be done now, and you have to have it, and it is about you. There is nothing at the cross that says anything is about you. It is all about sacrifice, and it is all about somebody else. Save it. Wait. Be patient. Look to the cross and see that Christ, His whole life, said no, said no, said no, and because He said no, He went to the cross, but He went to the cross for you, and He went to the cross, but yet God raised Him and sat Him at His right hand, and He's receiving glory forevermore. He gave up for 33 years small, insignificant pleasures, trinkets of the world, and what He gained was an eternity of glory from God. That is how you have to view this. It is that important. You have to see this as God's plan is best, and the cross tells me I can trust His plan. He is not withholding anything. He does want me to serve, and in serving, I will find greater satisfaction. Okay? All right. I went over, and so obviously we're not going to get to the second one. Basically, the second one I was just going to do was fighting or anger in the marriage or any other relationship. And so, again, maybe for your homework, if you want to do this, bad fruit, how do I react? Just write the word fighting. You can not communicating. We're talking about relationships, right? These are the thorns. We always fight. We don't communicate well. Whatever it is. Then begin to think, what is it, right, that seems to be my situation where these thorns come out? What is it in my heart that would cause these thorns? What are the consequences of those thorns? What is it that God says and does in Christ that frees me from that and builds my faith in Him? What does the cross tell me? What do I repent of? What do I put my faith in? And when I do that, when I am living by faith, what is the fruit that will be produced and what are the consequences of that? Walk through that and see if you can do that. There should be scripture that you attach to those things as well. And then next week, I'm going to come back and just we'll open up one last time and do another chart and talk to you. We're going to start on the fruit side. We're going to begin to talk about, if I'm reading through my Bible, here's what God says we should be doing, or maybe even I discover in my life that I am doing. What do I do now? How do I take God's word, and as I'm reading it, and I'm reading about Moses and Pharaoh, how does that apply to me? Well, it does, because you can look and see what God is trying to teach us there, and you can even work backwards. Now, we won't work all the way over to the thorns necessarily, but we may. But anyway, back to how does the cross help me continue to do this? So it's not that I just have fruit, but I have lots of fruit, and it's very good fruit. Okay? All right, so let's pray, and then we will be dismissed. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that in a society where it seems that pornography is celebrated, sex outside of the marriage is celebrated and rejoiced and encouraged, that your word and the cross tells us we do not have to give in to that. And so I pray for young men and women. I pray for middle-aged men and women and older men and women who are struggling with the viewing of pornography. They are filling their minds with images that create unintended expectations and expectations that cannot be met. And so, Father, I pray that you would, with your Holy Spirit, just reveal to them that there is an escape, that Christ died for their pride, that the fact that he died on the cross demonstrates to us that God is not withholding anything from us, that God, who is a loving God, who is a sovereign God, gives us everything that we need. And so if we needed that, then we would give it to us. That they would see and understand and trust that you have given us a gift in giving us sex. But that gift is only a good, is only at its best when it is within inside the binds of marriage. And so, God, I pray that we would put our faith and trust in you and wait. Father, for those who are married, that they would understand and see that their spouse is a gift, and that they are to serve them regardless of the circumstances. And so give us all boldness to stand against this and to say no in our lives and to turn from it. And we pray these things so that your name would be magnified and glorified in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.